Good morning. John Hockenberry here with Catherine Lamfer, and we are monitoring a news conference that's taking place now in Riverdale in the Bronx, which was the site of the targets of four men who were arrested last night in an alleged plot to bomb two synagogues in New York City. Here's New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly taking questions from reporters, and the mayor has also been speaking. Let's get the details, first of all, from Al Baker, New York Times Police Bureau in New York City. He's speaking with us from New York. Al Baker, first of all, the details. Four men are in custody. What was the plot? What were the targets? And how long have the police been involved in this investigation?
Yes, good morning. The plot was to attack two synagogues in the Riverdale section of the Bronx using what the attackers believed were bombs laden with several pounds of C4 explosives. In fact, the bombs were inert. And the second portion of the plan was to take down military aircraft at the Stewart Air Force Base in Newburgh, New York, which is a base that provides military aircraft to Afghanistan soldiers and supplies. And the plot was first discovered about a year ago when a confidential informant or a witness, someone who had been arrested and convicted in 2001 for some type of fraud crime, now working as an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, came upon the plot and facilitated the communications between the alleged criminals and the federal law enforcement officials last year.
Now, so this person was arrested for fraud and turned, you know, sort of to work for the state by giving up someone unrelated to the fraud investigation?
Well, this is a typical law enforcement tactic to have someone on the inside, so-called eyes and ears, inside a criminal or alleged criminal conspiracy, such as this one is alleged to be. This person, around 2002 or so, pleaded guilty and agreed at that point, pursuant to what they call a cooperation agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office for some other district of New York, not the Southern District, to violating a criminal fraud scheme of some sort. I'm not sure of the details, but yeah, they use a criminal to get on the inside. An old case, but it is a confidential witness who was the person who met these four men at a mosque at some point and learned of their desire about a year ago, I should say, and learned of their desire, as they professed, according to the criminal complaint, to hurt America or attack America.
Right. According to a New York police source that we've been talking to this morning, Al, the name Jaish-e-Mohammed, that's, you know, soldiers of God, actually came from the informant. It shows up in the complaint, but that the Jaish-e-Mohammed name of the group actually was supplied by the informant. Do you have any information on that?
Well, I think that the informant stated that he claimed to have belonged to that group, which is based in Pakistan.
Right, but there's no link to Pakistan as far as we know, right?
Somehow, in a meeting last July, Mr. Cromedy, who is alleged to be the leader of this group, were discussing this organization, which I guess the U.S. government deemed a terrorist organization in 2001. And it's based in Pakistan. They were discussing it. And the confidential witness claimed to Mr. Cromedy that he was or had been involved in it. And according to the complaint, as far as my reading of it, Mr. Cromedy then stated to the witness that he would be interested in joining Jaish-e-Mohammed to do a, quote, jihad.
Okay, Al, thanks.
That's the way the facts are in the U.S. Attorney's instrument.
Hey, Al, what do we know about why the specific targets were chosen? For instance, those two synagogues. Whose idea was that? Do we have any idea yet?
As far as an idea, I don't. I know that according to the criminal complaint, this kind of ratcheted up over time. The complaint lays out like a one-year window of relations between the witness and the group. and in which various members of the group at one point or other are involved. There are talks in December. They visit a Muslim Alliance of North America meeting in Philadelphia, according to the complaint, again, Mr. Cromney talks about targets and what he would like to do to help. He's upset, according to the complaint, he's upset about the American government's action in Afghanistan. His father is from Afghanistan.
Right.
So he talks about how the World Trade Center was already attacked. And there's language in here in which he is alleged to have said lots of anti-Semitic things about in reference to an attack on a synagogue.
All right, Al. So those are the details in the complaint. The four are going to be arraigned in White Plains later on today. Al Baker, New York Times Police Bureau Chief in New York City, speaking to us. Of course, the New York Times are our partners. Let's just recap very quickly. Four men in custody. Three are American citizens for a plot allegedly to blow up two synagogues in Riverdale in New York City in the Bronx, and also to shoot down military planes at an Air National Guard base in Newburgh, New York.
All right. Now, John, this is going to complicate a conversation that's going to be going on later this morning. Both President Obama and former Vice President Dick Cheney are both going to give major speeches on the closing of Guantanamo. One of the things that will obviously complicate that is the news this morning of this foiled terrorism plot. There's another thing that will complicate that, a soon-to-be-released Pentagon report indicating that 74 of the 534 prisoners released from Guantanamo so far have returned to terrorism or militant activity. There's an article outlining this in this morning's New York Times by reporter Elizabeth Buemiller, and she joins us with the details. All right, Elizabeth, first off, let's talk about the timing of this report. What does it say that the report is being released right now?
Well, actually, it's not being released. It's been the subject of many numerous Freedom of Information requests by media organizations. Of course, there was someone at the Pentagon or someone, you know.
Leaked.
So it's not being released. So on the one hand, I think there were a number of people at the Pentagon said to me that they saw no reason not to release it, but they were nervous about it because they felt it would upset the White House and the president's plans. This has been ready since January.
All right. Now, the previous reports on recidivism were criticized as being too vague. I mean, we're talking about one in seven here, according to this report.
Right.
How different do you think this report will be?
This one isn't. I mean, I have seen it. It's also vague. I mean, that's the problem with these reports. They do have, on this one, they have 29 names of people who they say are confirmed or suspected of returning to terrorism or militant activity. But there's only a handful of those who you can actually verify. The other names you can't find anywhere. And the report says, well, they have engaged in terrorist training. They don't tell you where, or they have they have associated with known terrorists. Again,
okay.
The report doesn't tell you who or where.
Speaking of vague, militant activity. What exactly does that mean?
Well, in the past, the Pentagon had the earliest reports in 2007. That included, you know, making films that were, against. Making a documentary about some of the detainees incarceration at the detention center. So they've changed that, but it's a very vague term. So there has been a lot of criticism of these reports. So the Pentagon was sitting on a report that has been attacked in the past. And yet they had it, so they didn't. They were just kind of paralyzed with inaction. They felt if they released it, they would be criticized for undermining Obama. But if they sit on it, then they're criticized for protecting Obama.
Okay. And very quickly, how do you think this report will complicate the national conversation going on right now this morning about Guantanamo?
Well, of course it will. I mean, there certainly are people on this list who we have already reported in the New York Times and other places mm-hmm. who have done legitimately bad things, like, you know, bombing attacks. One of them is highly suspected of being participating in a deadly bomb attack on the U.S. embassy in Yemen. Another one has become absolutely confirmed. We have written about him in the New York Times. He has become an important Taliban commander in southern Afghanistan, right, working against U.S. forces. So, yes, this is going to complicate things. The recidivism rate here, if you believe the Pentagon's numbers, is much lower than what it is, right, for the general prison population in the United States. But obviously, there is, amongst many Americans, there's going to be a lower tolerance,
okay,
for this kind of recidivism.
Elizabeth Buemiller, want to thank you for joining us. She's a reporter, of course, with the New York Times.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.